Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If the God of the Bible really exists, I would go gladly to hell. And anybody happy to go to heaven to worship such a creature is morally bankrupt.
It is because God's wrath is real that his mercy is relevant. Unless you have a real wrath, the biblical concepts of mercy and of grace are robbed of their meaning.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's a good thing it's not a Saturday. This is Wretched Radio. It's Witness Wednesday. We are at Georgia Tech, and it's a little bit on the chilly side, and that's why it's a good thing it's not a Saturday, because otherwise, this would be a snotty Saturday. I'm sorry. It's just a little sniffly. It's a little chilly here, and my nose is running. Todd, thanks for stating the obvious. Okay. Hey, look. I got soft, okay? Move from Minnesota to Atlanta. It took a winter to get soft. You move from the north to the south, loaded with bravado. You know where we come from. Entire cities have been buried in snow, and we've never seen them again. We just brag about how cold it is and how wicked the weather is. But then you live through one nice winter in the south, and I'm telling you something. You become a freeze baby lickety-split fast. Anything below 70 degrees is like, oh, kids, put an extra blanket on the bed. We don't want to lose you. It doesn't take long. So here we are at Georgia Tech hoping... They've got a popcorn machine. Are you a popcornaholic? I am. I'll see any popcorn. It can be gas station popcorn. The greasier, the better. It's like a worm to a bird for me. We're in the thingy-ma-bob. You know, the center, I guess would be the word I'm looking for. There's some student center here that's got a big inflatable dealy bob sent up, trying to attract the kids' attention, and they're giving away popcorn. Hey, why don't we take a break and we'll come. Let's see if we can find a kid who claims to be a Christian who can articulate the gospel in 10 seconds or less, because as we've been hearing, it doesn't happen very often. Kids who profess to be followers of Jesus don't even know the basics of the gospel, and they should be able to express it in 10 seconds or less, because it's just not that complicated. The simpleness of Scripture and the gospel message, a two-year-old should be able to articulate it, let alone a college student. All right, excuse me, young man, while you're eating whatever it is that you're eating, may I chat with you on the radio for a minute?
Sure, yes.
Cool. Don't stop eating. Don't stop. Man, it's okay. Where are you from?
Connecticut.
Connecticut. And what are you doing here at Georgia Tech?
Studying aerospace engineering.
You're going to be a rocket scientist.
More or less.
You're the brunt of a joke.
It's true.
Well, actually, it's not a joke. It's really a compliment, isn't it?
Yeah, I like to think so.
Okay, so what do you want to do when you get out of here?
Not really clear on that. I mean, ideally, just in terms of where I'm going to be working in industry, I'd rather be working... you know, with Boeing or Lockheed rather than NASA actually doing rocket science, as you put it. But
I just got to be in a flight simulator for a Learjet.
Yeah.
Was it cool? Have you ever done that?
Yeah, I haven't actually played in a while, but...
No. Not a game on a computer. I mean that big thing where you sit in it. It's a real cockpit,
the
real
maneuver
with the hydraulics.
I've seen them. I've never actually been in one,
though.
Dude,
way cool.
I could imagine.
They're way cool. And a lot of work to be a pilot.
Because right.
I mean, it's not a gentle type of thing to steer.
Yeah, there's a lot of ground school to go through, from my understanding.
Yeah, but so. It was the physical stuff that kind of surprised me. Okay, right. So you're from Connecticut. You're living down here in the South.
Right.
Could you tell me what spiritual thing you're into or religion you are into, if any?
I'm not a member of a religion, but I guess I do believe in God. But, I mean, past that, I haven't really explored it all too much. Mm-hmm. To be completely
honest. Who do you think God is?
I mean, that's kind of a difficult question. Again, this just goes back to the whole, like, I haven't really explored it in depth. Like, I choose to believe that, you know, all of this happened for a reason, but as to, like, you know, who did it or why, it's...
Did you grow up in a religious home?
My dad is atheist, and my mom is... Or not atheist, what do you call
agnostic.
It?
Agnostic.
Agnostic, and my mom is Roman Catholic, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And you just haven't quite figured it out.
Right, more or less.
But you believe there's a God. Why?
I mean, I just think it, I mean, when you consider, like, everything, you know, like, just life on Earth, a lot of things had to come together in just the right way, and for, you know, all of this to exist, and I feel like, you know, I mean, some people will say that's chance, but I'd say, you know, with given like the, you know, probability of that happening, it's almost just as likely.
So the complexity design argument has led you to believe somebody had to put this together.
Yeah, I mean, I'd argue it's equally as like for those who believe that, I don't know, I guess like the Big Bang happened and then like everything just kind of fell into place. I'd almost argue that it makes just as much sense as like the Big Bang happened because someone wanted it to and then he just kind of put it all together, I guess, mm-hmm. but...
Philosophically, let me ask you if this is logical to you, mm-hmm. okay? If I look at the creation
right.
and conclude, like you are, that there must be some creator,
right.
not sure how he did it exactly, but there's some sort of creator, would it be fair to say that there are things that we can learn about the creator by looking at the creation?
I mean, that's kind of difficult to say because I guess a lot of people... And again, I'm not really sure whether I buy into this, believe that he's, you know, kind of all-knowing, all-powerful. So I feel like from our perspective, it's almost kind of arrogant to assume that we can look into something. And
I didn't talk about religions.
Right.
I'm just saying, can we look at all the stuff that's made and go, okay, is there a clue here as to what he is like? For instance, see if this is logical.
Right.
This place is big, so he has to be bigger.
Right.
Would that be fair?
I mean, I guess stuff like that would be fair to conclude. As to other things you could get out of it, I'm not exactly sure.
Right. Let's try. Let me try this one. It's well organized, mm-hmm. so he must be smart.
Well,
it's a clever place. The whole system is pretty clever. Therefore, the God who made it, or whatever you want to call it that made it, is very clever and smart.
I guess that would be again fair to say from our perspective. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to know these things.
All right. Okay, one more. If you and I are communicative, we
right.
have a way to share ideas and thoughts with one another.
Right.
Would it be fair to say that the creator, whoever it is a communicating creator?
I mean, I've always kind of held the belief that this was just kind of something he did and then kind of maybe, you know, backed away from just to see... You know what would happen, like kind of our fate as like the human race, the fate of the human race is kind of in our own hands. You just kind of set everything in motion and then said, like, you know, do with it what you will.
You know, that's a concept called deism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that would mean that if he kind of set the place up and let it spin,
right?
How do the rules of nature happen without him being involved? Intrinsic property do inanimate or even animate objects have that keep them organized, that keeps gravity working, that keeps laws of thermodynamics happening, without somebody overseeing those laws?
I mean, couldn't he have just put them in place to begin with and just kind of left it at that? I'm not really fully understanding your question here.
What power, where does the world get its power from? Why does the world keep spinning? Why does gravity keep pulling things down? Where does that come from?
I guess, when he created everything, I guess he just, you know, decided that there'd be gravity, and then everything would just kind of float around.
All right. Okay.
I mean,
would you consider yourself to be a good person?
I guess.
Sort of?
Yeah.
Huh?
I mean, kind of a loaded question. Do you really get anyone who ever says, like, no, I'm a terrible person?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, if my response seems kind of weird.
No, nobody's ever said I'm a terrible... Because I think we like ourselves. We think we're pretty good people.
Right.
Okay, here's a test for you. How many lies have you told in your life?
There's been a fair number of them.
Fair number. Yeah. Okay, so if I told a fair number of lies, what would you call me?
It depends who you're lying to or...
Just a lie.
Just lie. You'd
call me a...
I mean, I wouldn't call you any better or
even behind
worse
my back, a liar, right?
Yeah, but again, no better, no worse than like the person standing next to you, because everybody does it.
That could be, but I'd
right.
still be one.
Right.
I mean, if everybody's speeding, I'm still a speeder.
Right. Right.
Okay. How many things have you stolen in your life?
A few, to be completely honest.
Okay. So what would that make you?
I don't know. I guess.
Rhymes with thief.
Yeah.
Okay. Now a little trickier. Thought life, purity of thought. Looking at other individuals, looking at women, having sexual desires or fantasies. How pure has your thought life been?
Probably not very.
Not so good.
Yeah.
Not so good. Okay, so I asked you before if you're a good person. You said, yeah, I'm a good person. But you've lied and you've stolen and you've lusted.
Right.
Okay, if there's a God and you died and you stood before him and he judged you for your thoughts, for your deeds, for your lack of deeds,
mm-hmm.
would he find you innocent or guilty?
I mean, again, I'm not really... too...
Self-examination. I'm not judging you.
At this point, wouldn't it be a question of which doctrine you would follow in believing in God?
No, because it doesn't matter what I think about the judge. The question is...
Oh, no, what I'm getting at is, I mean, some things that might be considered like an unforgivable sin, say, like, you know, the Roman Catholic ideology might not be so...
Yeah, we'll keep that aside. Just lying, stealing, lusting. Innocent or guilty?
I guess if he's, like, super strict about it, I guess I'd be guilty, but...
No, again, he's super strict because it's law-breaking.
I guess.
Besides, I mean, it's been more than one lie, more than one thing stolen, more than one lust.
Right.
Okay, so if you're guilty... And this God is just. He cares about right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a place for people to go when they die, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell?
I guess I'd go to hell. But, you know, I guess also on that note, I really feel like the problem with that kind of thought belief is, like, most people, I get the feeling that, like, most people probably would. You know, who hasn't lied and lusted and things like that?
I do. No, I agree.
So, I mean, that's one of the things that's always kind of... To be completely honest, confused me about organized religion because it seems like it's like kind of the belief system is kind of crashing, conflicting with human nature. So it's like almost like a lose-lose, I guess. But
I understand. Hey, dude, eat some of your food. Yeah. I got to take a break, and then you eat some of your food because it's getting cold.
Yep.
All right, we'll take a break. Wretched Radio.
So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends, all the stuff that doesn't matter. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Because it can. Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Picture this, 7 new pieces of content every single day. And I'm not talking clickbait or gossip. I'm talking real truth for real life. The app is already full of hundreds of hours of content. Again, completely free. And when I say free, I mean free. I don't mean hidden costs and temporary trials and premium tiers. No subscription traps at all. Because while everyone else all over the world is selling you something, we are giving something away. Fortis Plus. Download it right now where you download your apps or just go to fortisplus.org because what feeds your mind shapes your life. You remember when you first discovered solid biblical teaching? It was the moment when the door swung open and everything changed in your life. What if we could fling those doors wide open for everyone, everywhere? That's why we launched a brand new initiative, Truth Unhindered. It's going on right now. Later this year, we're unveiling something unprecedented, something that will revolutionize how pastors access seminary-level teaching, how families discover biblical counseling, how seekers find answers. But... here's the thing. Great visions, well, they require great partners, and that's why we need you now more than ever before. Through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled through our matching grant, up to $250,000. That's not just giving, it's multiplication. Your gift today becomes transformation tomorrow. Visit FortisInstitute.org/truth before June 30th, because truth, well, it was never meant to have barriers. FortisInstitute.org/truth. You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Giffert wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies.
Important dates in Christian history. 1611. The Authorized or King James translation of the Bible in the English language is published. 54 scholars worked for 4 years on the project. The King James Version became the Bible of choice in the English-speaking world for over 400 years.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Drew is a better man than I am. This is Wretched Radio. We're at Georgia Tech, where it's cold and I'm whiny. But Drew, you're from Connecticut and you haven't started whining yet, have you?
I mean, it's only like 40, so y'all got nothing to complain about.
I'm telling you, I got soft. One winter and you get squishy. All right, we were talking with Drew, and we kind of came to a conflict of this whole religion thing, and that religion seems to be problematic because it says you're supposed to be perfect, and yet human nature says we're not perfect at all.
Right. Again, that's one of the things I'm kind of confused about, and it's one of the, I feel like at some point in my life I'm going to go out and actually, like, select a religion and start following it, but it's one of those things I need to
examine,
work through.
Figure out.
Yeah.
Okay, do you have any idea? Now, you've lived in this country your whole life, right? Even though your background, your mom and dad,
yep,
from Hong Kong?
Kong and Taiwan.
All right. Are you familiar with what, say, Buddhism teaches compared to Christianity versus Islam?
I've got a fairly good idea of it because we, in where I went to elementary, or not elementary school, like middle school and high school, I remember there was a good portion of it spent in AP history classes learning about the separate religions and belief systems.
Just
because, I mean, Christianity and like the rise of Judaism and the rise of Islam is really, like, it was a huge driving factor historically in like the development of.
So they just taught a history. So, did they teach you the theology of Christianity?
Christianity, I kind of, everything I know about it, I kind of get from my mom, again, because she's Roman Catholic, and just from, you know, just kind of like osmosis. I've never actually been to like a mass and fully appreciated what's going on, but just through
osmosis, you've been picking it up.
I've been picking it up. And then as for Islam, that was actually something they tried to teach, because I guess I went through high school around the time when 9/11 happened.
Oh, yeah.
So it was one of the major focal points, I thought, of our school to kind of teach us what they believe, so we had a better, less, I guess, bias or judgmental view of what's going on there, and a better understanding of, like, you know, who they are, and things like that.
Okay, so Drew, here's where we were at. If you got judged by God, and he knew that you were a luster and a liar and a thief,
right,
maybe done other things that you're not so thrilled with,
right,
and he knew all about it, and he judged you, you'd be guilty. Would you go to a good place or a bad place, a heaven or a hell?
I guess we said hell earlier, so stick with that.
You're sticking with that?
Yeah.
Huh? And would that be a good place or a bad place?
I mean, I guess that would just kind of be dependent on what you're taught, I guess. I mean, there's going to be...
Well, it would be bad because you've broken the laws, and there's a price to be paid for lawbreaking.
Right, but...
Okay. I want to watch your time, too.
Right.
Okay. Christianity. What does Christianity say has happened so that a guy like you and me doesn't have to go to hell?
I don't know. God's supposed to be, like, all-forgiving or something, right?
Well, it's a lot about forgiveness, but not all-forgiving.
Right.
But God is a forgiving God. He's a kind God. He's a good God. He's a just God, and he's got to punish lawbreakers.
Right.
He's not going to let rapists get away with crimes or murderers, but he's not going to let lusters get away with it either.
Right.
Or liars.
Right.
Or thieves. He's going to get everybody for their lawbreaking, because primarily it's a crime against him.
Mm-hmm.
Not just against one another, but against him.
Right.
Okay? So what did God do, according to Christianity, so that you don't have to go to hell? It's called the gospel. Do you know what that is?
Gospel.
It's the good news. It means good news.
I guess that's, something from the Bible, right?
That's right.
Right.
It's the big thing of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what it is. You're a lawbreaker. I'm a lawbreaker. Everybody here is a lawbreaker.
Right.
And God should rightly, we agree on this, God should send everybody to hell because that's what we've earned for ourselves.
Right.
And he must do that because he's just. He's got to punish lawbreakers, but he's also good and he's kind. So now we got a tension. That tension we talked about before, you're right. There's a tension going on here.
Mm-hmm.
God is good and just. He's got to punish lawbreakers, but he's a loving God, and he wants to forgive them. But he can't just go, well, you're forgiven, because that would be unjust.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like a criminal standing before a judge. He's broken all the laws, and the judge goes, well, I'm just going to forgive you.
Right.
You're a bad judge. You're a bad judge. You got to punish the guy.
Yeah.
But if somebody was willing to take the punishment that you and I deserve to satisfy the justice and the wrath of God, God could look at us because of what a good person did for us and say, your fine has been paid, you're dismissed, I've forgiven you, based on
what somebody has done for you. That right. is the gospel.
Oh, okay. So that's the whole Jesus died for our sins thing?
That is exactly right.
All
right. Jesus Christ, who claims to be God himself, came to this earth to rescue you and me.
Right.
To take the punishment that we deserve. He received hell for us, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Beaten, hung on a cross, gasping for air, dying.
Right.
So that your sins could be put on him, and then his goodness could be credited to your account, and therefore God could look at you and say, Drew, I see you as perfect because of what my son did on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
That's the good news of the gospel. So that resolves that tension. God is just, and instead of punishing the unjust, he punished the just on your behalf. He punished the good man for the bad man's sake, that you might be forgiven. So God now can show mercy to you. He can forgive you and still be just at the same time.
Okay.
That's how the tension gets broken.
Okay, I can see that. I mean, are you waiting for like my opinion on that or?
Sure.
I mean, I actually don't really know how to react to that.
Let me ask this question: if that's true,
right?
Can you think of a kinder act that has ever taken place for you than that? If indeed Jesus is God, he was enjoying heaven and everything that was sweet, and instead came down and took on a human form to live on this earth at a crummy time in history where it wasn't really pleasant.
Right.
And was beaten up for you, was hit with a stick for you,
right,
had a crown of thorns put on his head for you, and had nails put through his hands and feet for you, and died for you. Can you think of a kinder act that anybody has ever done for you?
I guess not.
No.
Again, if it's true.
Yeah, it would be good news.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you're a young man, and you said you're trying to figure things out. You should figure out if that's true or not.
Right.
Because if it's true, then all the other things are false. And if it's true, and you don't get that forgiveness, you'd be in big trouble, right?
Right. Well, again, it's, I mean, this is a pretty big question I've got to figure out. And I mean, like, right now, school's kind of in the way. So, again, it's something I want to do eventually. Just, I don't know when that would be.
Drew, I'm going to leave you, but let me encourage you.
Right.
If what I just shared with you is right, right now, as you sit here, I know school is important, and eating your food is important. But if it's true that God is seeing everything you're doing and he's mad at you for breaking his laws, not thanking him for your food that you just got, not praising him, not living for him, his wrath is aimed directly at you.
Mm-hmm.
That would get my attention.
Right.
And make it a little bit more urgent than I'll just wait until I get what I think is important. Because in life, what's really important, really, is where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going when I die? And if what I just shared with you is true, where you're going right now is hell.
Right.
And I would think really urgently about this.
Mm-hmm.
You got enough time during the day to figure this out. Right? Or at least think on these things.
Yeah, I guess.
So I would simply encourage you, make it a point of urgency to figure this out.
Right.
Because if also what I said to you is true, it's very good news for you that you could be forgiven by God.
Very true.
And you could be in a right relationship with God. All right, I'm leaving.
All right.
Here's what you must do if you determine what I just said to you is true.
Right.
You've got to repent. Do you know what that word means?
Yes, I do.
What does it mean?
Basically just means admit to your, I guess, sins in this case and then ask for forgiveness.
And turn from them.
Okay, there you go.
Turn from your sin. Doesn't mean you become perfect, but it's like, God, I don't want those things anymore. I want you instead. And you put your trust in Jesus and him alone. And the Bible says all sins, past, present, and future, all gone because of what Jesus did for you. You've got to repent and trust the Savior.
Right.
Think about it, dude.
Yep.
All right, you're a gentleman. I appreciate the chat very much.
Nice meeting you.
All right, goodbye. Yep, carry on. Rocket scientist. This is Wretched Radio. It's Witness Wednesday. We're at Georgia Tech. Pray for him, would you? It's always striking to me that people respond like that. I think it's pretty telling, and I think that's why when we listened to Ray, what was it, a week or two ago, to come with earnestness and to remind people of the importance of dealing with this issue. I just read a quote by George Whitefield. George Whitefield was talking about how he was preaching during the Great Revival here and the Great Awakening in America. How he spent so much time pleading with them earnestly about judgment, about the afterlife, about hell. Why? Because if this kid would die or they would die, they would be in such big trouble. I'm thinking, too, about that quote, if you recall, from George Spurgeon, maybe it's a cousin, from Charles Spurgeon. When Charles Spurgeon was talking about the modern-day preachers of his time, I remember, because it was from Team Pyro, Spurgeon said that we as Christians don't win the world with a sword. That's not what we're about. Not now, not ever. But we are given to speak words with a sword, that are a sword, the two-edged sword. But so many preachers these days have replaced the sword with flowers, and they preach such sweet-smelling words and about the times and about how they can live a better. And it reminds you so much of today's preachers. But we should be cutting men down with the sword of God's word and the law, and with some urgency, and letting them know this is important. Deal with these things and deal with them now. It's a Witness Wednesday, and this is Wretched Radio.